This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to this episode of Blog on the Pod, a new feature for 2021, and one in which we ask our experts to expand on their recent blogs. In this week's episode, we're talking high yield bonds, and here to tell us why he believes junk bonds still have their place in a portfolio is Martin Reeves, head of Global High Yield. Martin, thanks for joining LGIM Talks.
Thanks, Frances. Great to be here.
Now, just looking at the paucity of yields out there, Martin, there was a time, wasn't there, when investors demanded a higher yield for investing in what are essentially riskier companies. Is today's risk-reward ratio high enough, do you think?
Well, yes, I think it is. When I started in the industry, you could earn yields of 15% on a bond, not necessarily that uncommon. However, government bond yields were far higher. The underlying rate of real inflation was higher. Real rates were higher. Now, government bond yields have gone negative in most of the world. So we're in a position where it's not about yields, it's about spreads. High yield was always probably a bit of a misnomer anyway. It's about the credit spread that you earn. And I think on a risk-adjusted basis, it looks attractive.
Okay, now you wrote in your blog recently, rising stars rather than fallen angels could be the talk of the town. Can you just tell us what you mean by that, Martin?
Yes, high yield goes through various phases. A lot of it driven by the cycle, some of it structural. We had a massive amount of fallen angels that hit the market, more than we had ever seen in absolute amounts. And I think to some extent, with the best will in the world, the rating agencies got it wrong. It's understandable that they got it wrong, that they pushed companies from investment grade down to high yield. Now, with the massive monetary and fiscal stimulus that's occurring, a lot of those companies are going to go back into being investment grade. And one of the things that's actually also apparent is it's been a phenomenal period for earnings for companies. The ability companies have had to cut their costs, actually maintain some revenue during all of these terrible lockdowns has been astounding. And that means a lot of them actually are doing far better than the agency thought. And so even some high yield companies themselves will be getting upgraded.
So you don't think it's too early, do you, to be talking about rising stars when we're barely coming out of what has been a really sharp but short recession?
It is not too early. And as it happens, high yield is a differentiated asset class because it tends to bounce back so quickly. And in fact, a lot of the bounce back has occurred. But what we also see is a persistency to the bounce back, and it can last for a good 2 years afterwards. Because as you come out of a recession, this is obviously a very unusual one, but as you come out of a recession, the monetary fiscal stimulus that you always see drives spreads tighter as default risk collapses. So relative to investment grade, as it happens, the rising stars still look, on a risk-adjusted basis, tremendously cheap. It is going to be the hot trade of this year.
And we'll just add in your view there, Martin. But I totally understand what you're saying. Now, you were just talking about real rates. And of course, the market is thinking a lot about real rates at the moment and getting a little bit jittery as inflation sort of creeps back onto people's agendas with all, as you say, this monetary stimulus we're having. How do real rates affect your asset class then?
Well, you can't get away from the fact that material movements in bonds or equity markets are going to affect every other asset class. And high yield is the tail. The tail doesn't wag the dog. The dog is made up of equity and bond market moves. So when people are concerned about bond markets, it's going to affect equities, it's going to affect high yield. I think the strength of high yield always has been, it is a low duration, a short duration asset class. The interest rate sensitivity is low. And as that happens, we're sitting in a duration of about 3.5 years across most areas that we look at. If bonds overall sell off, yes, high yield will sell off, but they will not sell off anywhere near as much as investment grade bonds or government bonds.
And that's interesting, isn't it? Because 3.5 years versus, you know, a 10-year government bond, and that's interesting that it is low duration. I didn't actually know that. Now, let's drill down to the sector a bit more then, if we can, because as I understand it, it's, you know, the sector's made up of the more let's call them mature cyclical industries, you know, the telecommunications, the big industrials of this world. And given that credit markets essentially have, you know, already signaled quite a major economic recovery, in your view, do you reckon there's more to go for, Martin?
Yes, I think there is, certainly on the cyclical side, mainly because of the rising stars element, that too many companies were downgraded, and the cyclical recovery is absolutely amazing. We talk about the roaring 20s. That's because the world's going to look great in terms of economic growth the next couple of years. It's not just the second half 2020 phenomenon or first half 2021. We're probably going to be seeing good growth through 2023. So from that fundamental basis, the world looks attractive for cyclical companies. As it happens, though, technology is probably the thing that attracts us the most at the moment. And it's unusual for a high-yield investor to talk about tech companies. They're normally treated with great disdain. We had the TMT crash of 10 years, or I was going to say 10 years ago, showing my age, 20 years ago, which I lived through. And that was a sort of terrible time, and it scarred people. But there is actually a history of successful tech companies in high yield. When I first started, Amazon and Apple were in the high yield bond index. Now, if I'd only bought their equity rather than just being involved in their bonds, then who knows, I might be retired by now.
I know, we'd all be thinking it, wouldn't we?
Yes, but today we have Netflix, we have Twitter, we have Tesla. Tesla was rated down as a triple C company when we were buying those bonds in the 80s. Incredibly successful tech companies, and tech is growing to a larger part of the index than we have ever seen. And the way the world is developing, the services that tech companies provide are not going to diminish, they're going to grow. And that's one of the elements that's going to drive returns within high yield.
Yeah, and that seems to be a phenomenon everywhere, you know, the strong getting stronger, doesn't it? Now, look, bundle all this up, Martin, and you seem to be terribly optimistic about life at the moment, which is great, but there must be some risks, something that's keeping you awake at night. Tell us what it is.
Well, I've been doing this for over a quarter of a century, for most of my adult life. And if I've not learned to sleep at night, then I would have been burnt out by now. So fortunately, I sleep well. I sleep well because we have a great team. So if I look at it in absolute terms, what is something that might worry me when I come into the office? Yes, I would have a concern about a sell-off in US Treasuries because, as I said, it would affect every asset class. But the only thing that I look at and the thing I focus on is high yield. And what I know with high yield is defaults are always lower than people estimate. You always get compensated for defaults if you avoid triple Cs. And so the asset class is actually sufficiently robust to survive most things that are thrown at it. Whether you earn a massive return or a low return is another matter. That might be of concern to some people. But there's nothing especially that that keeps me awake at night, I guess, apart from Liverpool's poor form in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah, we can't mention that, can we? Anyway, apologies to all the other football fans who are doing quite well on some of them fronts. But Martin, interesting chat, and thanks very much for joining LGIM Talks.
Thank you, Francis.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.